Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 12. The Reverend Shawin Trump is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading for today is from Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 12. You shall say to them, "Thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the just decrees of the Lord. How can you say, 'We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us'? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, so what wisdom is in them? Therefore I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors, because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they not ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among the fallen when I punish them. They shall be overthrown, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I had just gotten my new Land Cruiser, Toyota Land Cruiser. Well, new. It was 8 years old, sold on the used car market in Japan, and then imported to Kenya right before it was too old to be allowed in. But it was new to Africa, and it was new to me. I got it outfitted, mud tires, snorkel, bull bar, winch, roof rack, undercarriage plates, high lift jack. Everything had been installed except the rear steel bumper, which was being shipped from Australia and was on a boat somewhere. That steel bumper, of course, is what allows the high lift jack to be used on the rear end of the vehicle when you need to get the wheels up and you can't get under the vehicle, so use a pneumatic bottle jack. I had 7 passengers in the Land Cruiser, including 2 of my own little kids, and we had just crossed back from Tanzania into Kenya to attend an ordination service in a desolate and hot, but not dry, part of the country. For a while, we followed a pickup truck with a brass band in its bed, leading the vehicle parade to this important service. The road got more narrow, less maintained, and finally, we somehow were the only vehicle left, following a group walking ahead of us. They turned off that compacted dirt road and onto a road that was in the process of being built up, although the excavator wasn't working that day. You could see where it had been at work, pulling sludge and mud out of a huge water-filled drench and dropping it onto the raised roadway to build up the road. Going down this seemingly dry road in progress was just one set of tracks on the right side of it. No one had driven on the left side of the road, so it was just dry piles of mud where the excavator had dropped them. And so we pulled onto those tracks. We started to make our way down this road, and as I'm driving down these tracks, it gets worse and worse and less solid, and finally I stop, and the church members walking in front of us stop too. And when I get out, I can see that I'm not in a good situation. The road is barely holding up under the weight of the truck right where it is, and it progressively gets worse and worse farther ahead. I look around. The heftiest plant in sight is a 5-foot-tall palm fern on the other side of the huge ditch full of water. There is nothing to winch to if I happen to get stuck. I had already gone too far down that road, much further than I should have. Turning back would not be easy. And it was at this point that I learned a very important practical missionary lesson. When you get yourself into a situation, get yourself out of it exactly the same way that you got into it. Because instead of reversing the half mile or 1 mile backwards on my exact tire tracks, I tried to turn myself around. And the moment that my rear tires were off those tracks and into that unused space on the left side of the road, I found out why no one had driven there. The dry surface of those piles of mud was only a half inch deep, and underneath, it was liquid sludge. The rear wheels of the truck sank right down into it, all the way up past the axle. There was no driving out, there was no winching out, and because my high lift compatible rear steel bumper was on a boat, there was no lifting the tires out of the mud to fabricate a platform underneath them. I was well and truly stuck in the mud. My kit was incomplete, the tools I had didn't work, and by the end of this day, I needed to be out of that mud, back across a border crossing, and have guests dropped off at an airport. Now, it all worked out. It was messy, and it was muddy, and it took a lot of hands, but it all worked out, and 7 years later, I still have that truck, and it still has, now, a steel rear bumper on it with the high lift jack points. Yesterday, Pastor Ferry preached on the promise to Abraham and the promise of the covenant with Isaac and the indelible mark of the covenant. And in today's text now, 1,500 years later, Jeremiah is laying out God's word, and it is not good. Judah has gone way too far down the path of unrighteousness and apostasy, and the Lord is pointing out their stubborn and persistent and insistent evil. The Lord points out that it is regular in the course of men to turn back, to fall down and to get up, to turn away and then to return. But Judah is so persistent in their sin that they aren't even doing what a normal person would do. When men fall, the Lord says, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course. When I visit with the pastors in Africa, across all their congregations, I ask them about the ministry the Lord has entrusted to their care. I ask about their pastoral joys and their pastoral challenges. And I remember very early in my ministry years in Africa being with one pastor and hearing him share with me, we have many backsliders. What to do with all the backsliders? We were speaking the same language, but we were not using the same lexicon. I am not sure I had ever spoken that word in my life, but here it was, in the way that this pastor articulated one of his greatest struggles, this backsliding. Sometimes translated, apostasy is the turning away from the Lord. It's the same word for turn that is found throughout this whole section. If one turns away, the Lord says, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual turning away or backsliding or apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. Perpetual backsliders. Normal people fall down and get back up. Normal people turn away and then return. Even the migratory birds, the stork and the turtle dove and the swallow and the crane migrate and then turn back and migrate back. But not Judah. And not me. And not you. We are perpetual backsliders. Like Judah, we can't keep even the first commandment. Say it with me, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, but instead we trust in our wit, in our kit, in our ability to defend our actions, in our perpetual being a good person-ness. And we defend in our own minds the harsh words spoken to our spouse, the poor tone used with our parents or authorities, the resentment that we foster and rely on to justify our own bad behavior, the self-disappointment or even self-loathing that drives us to drink too much or to sink pleasure in ungodly means or that brings gossip to our lips to tear others down. We are so wily in making ourselves the other God. We are perpetual backsliders. So what does the pastor do about his perpetual backsliders? Well, one thing that doesn't work is just telling them to turn themselves around. Because when you're that far down that mud road and you try to turn yourself around, you get stuck. No, when you are so far down that road of sin and mess, and the Spirit has worked the turning inside of your heart, the solution is to be lifted up right out of it all and placed back at the foot of the cross, where our sin and the mess mingles with and mixes into and is covered by the blood of Christ. And the result in the eyes of our Father is a blameless purity that is white as snow. And there is a perpetualness of this, too, that exceeds that of the other. A perpetualness of the one sacrifice for all time and for all people that stretches into history as it stretches into future, atoning for every misplaced trust, every misplaced love, and every misplaced fear. This is the sacrifice that brings true peace, a peace I proclaim to you, peace, peace from the source of peace that dwells among us, forgiveness from the source of forgiveness, reconciliation from the source of reconciliation, restoration from the source of restoration, the lifting up, the covering over, the eradication of sin, removal as far as the east is from the west. This comes to you in the waters of baptism. Literal forgiveness which cascaded over your head and in which you were branded as belonging to the Lord. It comes to you in the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of the Lord given for you. It comes to you in the words of your pastor proclaiming forgiveness to you Sunday after Sunday, in the words of the Scripture throughout our liturgies, in the assurances of our hymns, in the teachings of the churches, in the symbols in our sanctuaries. Let there be no doubt. Before you were even born, Christ died for you. Before you even sinned, Christ died for you. You were baptized into that death and then resurrection, reborn in Christ, a new creation, pleasing to God, counted among the redeemed, numbered among the saints, persisting in holiness. Not because of anything you have done, but only through the will of the Lord, who chooses to claim you for himself persistently. Amen.